Good afternoon. This is Glenn Coble, and I think I'm pulling up Dr. Feynman. Can you hear us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Well, I got to get rid of that other music. All right. Now I have to do one other thing I forgot to do. And there we go. I got it. Now we're out of here. I forgot to hit one little button that I have to hit. I'm sorry about that. How you doing, Dr. Feynman? You got to hear all of our weather and news and everything.
And the obituary.
And the obituary. Now, you're in Florida.
Yes.
Assume it's warmer down there than it is up here.
Yes, although it's not as warm as it has been because now it's October. So it's more like, well, it's still summer, but it's not as hot as it has been.
Well, that's always good. And that was about the time that you start, probably you're getting snowbirds heading down there, right?
I wonder how many are coming down, though, now. I'm not sure, but usually, yes, that's true.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how it's going to affect people traveling, how they're going to come. Are they going to go by plane? Are they going to go by car? Are they even going to come down at all? I don't know. I think it's going to hurt the economy down here, quite frankly.
Yeah, I imagine it will, and governor of the state isn't really helping things.
Your governor, I admire.
Yeah,
he's a Republican, but he's a sensible Republican.
Yeah,
as is the governor of Maryland and Massachusetts. They are the smart Republican governors. Most of the others are not, but Florida, oh my gosh, she is, I think, horrible, absolutely horrible, and he just is a Trump, clone. That's what he is.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like it, and he will do anything to make Trump look good. Now, we've got lots of things to talk about today.
Do we?
And I have lots of notes on my phone that I was supposed to ask. But the very first note I'm supposed to ask, right? Are you ready for this? This is very politically important. It was given to me by Scott Spears. He says, you've got to ask Dr. Feynman, does he think green beans is a meal?
Green beans?
Oh, we were talking on the show just before this. He went out last night with a girlfriend or a friend who's a girl. And
woman, actually, if she's over 18. Remember that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He went out with a woman friend, and all he had for dinner was green beans. And he said that was a perfectly fine meal.
Well, I think a vegetable meal can be fine, and there's nothing wrong with green beans. I would not be able to imagine myself only having green beans.
I can't either.
But I don't think it's a bad idea, but I wouldn't make it. I guess a vegetarian would make it a habit, but I wouldn't.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's nothing wrong with green beans.
No. I think we all agree.
I like the color green also.
Yeah, I like the color green too. Having been assistant athletic director at Ohio University, which is green and white, I like green. Okay. All right, I've done my job for the day. Scott, if you're listening, I hope you like the answer you got here.
I would endorse green beans, but I would say not alone, but that's fine.
Yeah.
He's happy with it. I have no issue.
I'm there. As long as it didn't make his girlfriend or woman friend or whatever she is, he won't tell me.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you. I didn't know you worked at Ohio State at athletics. Jordan when he was there?
No, I worked at Ohio University, not Ohio State.
Oh, I thought you said Ohio State. Okay, Ohio in Athens, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I worked at the Ohio University, the first Ohio University.
Yes, okay. I thought you said Ohio State because I was going to say, what was Jim Jordan like?
Nope.
He's horrid now, I think.
Well, I met Jim Jordan. My boss, who was a devout Republican, she made me go to meet and greet with him the first year he came out and decided he was going to run for office. From that moment on, I wasn't really very fond of him. I just thought he was very haughty and very self-aggrandizing. I just didn't like him.
He's a mini Trump. That's what he is.
Okay.
He really is a younger Trump, but I think he's disgraceful. And he's also involved in that scandal that hasn't been cleared up.
Yeah, no, it has not.
Yeah,
and I know as an assistant athletic director, I know that my assistants, my assistant coaches, knew everything that went on in the locker room, and I have no doubts that he knew what was going on. But that's neither here nor there. The lady that's running against him, Shannon Freshour, is I've been trying to get her on my show, but she has they got a lot of things going on. Now, I do understand that she had a town meeting with, I guess a debate with Jim Jordan last night at yesterday afternoon at 2:30, which I missed. But I'm
going to be in the newspapers, though.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and find it and see if I can't find where it was. But I haven't. There was very little play about it. Now, when I was running for state representative, there was very little play about any Democrat doing anything. So, matter of fact, we had a big. I put out a news release talking about how my opponent had taken $7,000 in dark funds, but they weren't terribly dark. We all knew they were from Householder, and it never got in any of the radio stations or newspapers in the whole area. Now, you know, I'm not sure that you know about Householder, but he's been accused of taking $60 million. So, anyway.
Anyway, Jim Jordan was interviewed by Scott Spears, though, on your station.
Yes.
I know that.
Yes, he was on your station.
He's very evasive, I heard, yeah.
Yes, he was evasive, and he was not... It didn't sound like he was very happy with the questions that were being asked. But, you know, and he's been here in town. He actually did a town hall, I guess you'd call it, from the porch of the Harding house.
Really?
Yeah, Harding used to have big, huge meetings.
His centennial of his election is coming up Monday, November 2nd, before the national election this year. So it's a centennial event, and I have suggested that I'd be glad if asked to be part of that celebration or commemoration of the 29th President of the United States, because it is coming up in just less than a month now.
Well, I will ask the powers that be if that's something they're planning on doing. I have not heard of anybody planning anything big for that, but President Harding is kind of mixed emotions here in this town.
Well, he's really in the bottom five of presidents,
yeah.
Yes.
And his dalliances with, seven or eight young ladies, ingratiated. And the gentleman who is a grandson is now in the news about...
Yes, I know.
Yeah, you mentioned it to me, and I did look further into that. And
one thing about Harding, his ranking will go up, as will James Buchanan, Andrew Johnson, and Franklin Pierce, because of Donald Trump, because he's already in one poll, the American Political Science Association poll of 2018, before everything else, was rated at the bottom.
Oh,
so all of them rise one step in the listing of presidents, including Warren G. Harding.
Wow, that's not good. Not very much good news has happened for Mr. Trump this week.
I would say the whole 3.5-4 years, actually. Well, I think it's been a disgraceful time.
I got to ask you this question, though.
Yeah.
Where is Dr. Fauci? Where is he? Have they put him in lock and key?
Well, he has been interviewed, but he's careful in his language because he doesn't want to get fired. But honestly, I would think he shouldn't care, because I gather Joe Biden has already said he wants Dr. Fauci to be on his team. So even if he got fired now, that would only hurt Trump, and he'd come back in a few months. And I think a lot of these people who have been fired will come back under a President Biden.
Well, tell me, why do you think people are so frightened of being fired? You would think that everybody that works in the White House, everybody that is a congressman or a senator, has got enough of a resume that they would get hired instantly if they got fired.
Because they are greedy about power and influence, and a lot of them are corrupt, and that's both parties. I'm not going to say it's just Republicans.
Yeah.
A lot of them are just in it for the money and the fame and the power, and God forbid if they lose. But look, senators lose, and congressmen and congresswomen lose, and their life goes on. They're not homeless. Yeah. They're not on the streets. They're not, hungry. No. Believe me, Claire McCaskill of Missouri is on MSNBC. To Josh Hawley, who I think is horrible. But life goes on, and actually I think she feels less stressed now that she's out of the Senate, but she has the record of service in the Senate. It's not the end of the world to lose.
Yes. No, it isn't. And that's why...
You know.
I wish that people... And I ran... knowing full well that the chance of me winning were slim and none, but I ran because I wanted people to hear what I believed.
And I respect you so much for that. I wish I had known it, and I would have maybe made a temporary move to Ohio and voted for you.
Thank you. you. But now I wish that our senators and congresspeople would understand why they were elected. They were elected to lead the country, not elected to get rich and powerful, in my opinion.
Yes, exactly. That's the way it used to be.
Yeah.
And that's why I do think, although it's not going to happen, there needs to be some kind of term limits, but that has to be passed by the Congress itself, and they're not going to do it.
Yeah, it's like telling the Congress that they can't vote themselves a raise.
The only thing is with the raise, if they raise their pay that goes into the next Congress, where they have to efface the voters before it goes into effect. So that is reality, and that is the 27th Amendment, which finally was ratified. So they can vote an increase, but it goes into effect in the next Congress, and the voters, if they're aware, will know, oh, you voted for the increase, and maybe that's not a reason not to vote for them, but they'll be, you know, they can be made aware of that.
Yeah, okay. So it takes another session to get their increase coming in.
In other words, if they do it now, it can't go into effect until next year, or they do in the first year of the 2 years, it's the same thing. So they can do something now for next year, but not for now, yes.
I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now, let me, I've got all these questions that I've written down. You told me to write them down. So, well, I did it like I did it last week. I wrote them on my phone. But the very first one, can you make hide nor hair of why Trump would forbid doing anything about the COVID stimulus package? And then
he changed his mind, as you know, last night. I assume you're aware of that.
Yeah.
And then, about 8 hours later, the man is off the edge, and I say it's time for the 25th Amendment and for Mike Pence to get some, I'm going to say the word in Spanish, cojones, what I mean in English, and of course, the cabinet has to go along, and they might not, but I think it's time that he become acting president before the election. Not kick him out, but say he's not stable enough to be making judgments that have the nuclear codes and all that, and there could be a terrorist attack, God forbid, now, and I can just imagine one country or another might want to do it, or a terrorist group. We are in danger like we have never been before since World War II and the Cuban Missile Crisis, and 9/11, I would say.
I think I tweeted something almost to that effect, that I've never been as frightened about the future of our country as I am now since the missile crisis, which was horrible. But now, I'm not quite sure how to ask this question. The steroids, I had kids that used steroids when I was in athletic department, and it makes them strange as all get out. I'm certain that it makes our president strange, and you saw it the night that he went up on, well, 2 nights ago when he went up on the balcony and tried to breathe his way through a salute, and
he had trouble breathing, and he looked like Mussolini. He really did.
He did.
And I did that this morning. I wrote that Donald Trump, Mussolini as he crashes, and Joe Biden, elements of Lincoln, FDR, and Obama for the future. Because that's what he's got to face, Joe Biden. He's going to have to be a bit of Lincoln, a bit of FDR, and a bit of Obama. Three crises that these presidents dealt with well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now, how much control do we have if, let's say, Pence realizes the guy's off his rocker, not because he's permanently off his rocker, but he's temporarily off his rocker because of the steroids, can he jump in? Is the 25th Amendment the only way that he can jump in?
Yes, it is, and he has to be willing to speak up, but I guess he wouldn't unless he got the cabinet majority.
Yeah.
I don't think they would to agree with him. So we're in a real mess here, and of course, tonight, Mike Pence is going to debate Kamala Harris, and has been acting ridiculous about the issue of the protection for the debate. I don't even think it should be in the same place. It should be remotely as the third 1960 Kennedy-Nixon debate was Kennedy in New York and Nixon in Los Angeles.
Wouldn't hurt.
It doesn't have to be in the same place.
Yeah, it doesn't.
He's acting stupid, and his press secretary, the wife of Stephen Miller, of all people, who now has COVID, and she herself had it, was making fun of Kamala Harris over it, and now suddenly her husband has it.
Yeah.
And I wonder if Pence might have it and hasn't been tested. I mean, we're in a real mess.
No, yeah. Well, now, along that same line, there are polls that show that 3 out of 4 Americans would prefer that the Congress continue to work on that COVID package rather than voting for the Supreme Court vacancy. What do you make of that? That's not going to happen, though, I don't think.
Well, I don't know if it can happen, but honestly, the Supreme Court nominee should not go through unless Donald Trump wins, which he's not going to, wins the White House, because Obama was denied an appointment of almost a year left of his term,
yeah.
And this is ridiculous, and this woman needs more investigation, because although she seems like a nice lady, you can't go by looks. And you can't go by some people liking her as a professor, because also others in Notre Dame have come out against her, and there's a lot of issues that she's set in her views before we even have cases coming up on women's rights and abortion rights and gay rights I don't think she should be allowed to be involved in anything, even if she's approved, until January 20th. I really don't, but of course that's me. I just think it's a false case. I don't think she should even be the nominee at this point. Nobody should be, but that's me, and that's not what's going on. I hope it can be delayed and maybe prevented.
Well, along this line, do you think, if they do appoint her, do you think that the Democrats, if they win the Senate and the presidency, do you think they'll stuff the court with two more?
Actually, there's a talk of four more.
Four more, yeah.
6-3, I don't necessarily like it. FDR tried it. It didn't happen. But honestly, we cannot, I think, have a 6-3 court with people like Clarence Thomas, who has an interracial marriage and now has come out for reconsidering gay marriage just because he doesn't like it. And also Alito, who was rude to Obama, in 2009, both picked by different Bushes, already nasty. And, of course, the fact that Thomas for the moment, I can't think of his name. The one most recently confirmed to both have issues with the way they treated women. Kavanaugh. Yeah, yeah. Kavanaugh was trying to say. To me, we cannot have a court that one-sided either way. And I think we need to have a balance. And so I really think I would be in favor of having four Supreme Court choices to make it a 7-6. And then it might go the other way when somebody leaves, but stay within a limit of some kind of a balance.
Yeah.
But whether that will happen, I don't know.
Well, I think, in my opinion, is that the Republicans owe the Democrats two more. Just because
they
stole two.
But the fact is, you think about it, I have to say that actually, in sense, the last four Supreme Court appointments were picked by people, and now maybe five, who were not winners of the popular vote.
Yeah.
Bush 2 had two, and Trump had two, and now he has a third one.
Yeah.
And that's really unbelievable that popular vote, Republicans have lost six of the last seven elections in popular votes.
Well, that brings up another question. What do you think of the Electoral College? What are we going to do about it?
There isn't much can be done about it because it's in the Constitution. The only thing is we have this interstate voter compact idea where state legislatures have agreed to, I think, up to about 196 electoral votes that whoever wins the national popular vote, the electors would cast for that person, even if he did not win that state's popular vote. But it's all Democratic blue states. I don't know if we'll ever reach 270 and more. So until then, we're stuck with the Electoral College. But I think it has failed two times recently and five times overall, and that is not good for American democracy.
Why did they establish, I have my own opinions, but why did as a scholar, you should know why they did this. Why did they put an Electoral College in?
Well, the Founding Fathers were white male elitists.
Yeah.
When almost nobody could vote, and therefore they didn't even have popular vote for president until the 1824 election. It was only, the electors, and they didn't actually have a popular vote, but they did not trust the people, the masses, even if they're just white men, that they were smart enough. It is an elitist and white supremacist male kind of a thing, and it was expanded to allow all white men to vote, and then reluctantly for African Americans, and then taken away in the South, and then eventually women after such a long battle since 1848 to 1920. Why should it have taken that long to give women the right to vote? And now we have some people like Ann Coulter, who's a piece of work, and of course she's female, but she says that indeed the right to vote should be taken away from women because the majority vote Democratic. Can you believe this?
Huh.
Maybe because they're smarter.
Well, quite frankly, and this is just between you and me. No, nobody else would. I want to hear this. I would like. I'm looking forward to having a female president someday. Because
well,
I think that'd be better.
This debate tonight matters.
Yeah.
Because one of these two could be in the White House during the next term.
Absolutely.
Because of the age of the people who are running. I mean, I don't hope for it. I certainly don't, no matter who. But it is a chance that either Pence or Harris will be the 47th president after, assuming Joe Biden is the 46th, or maybe if he's not, then whoever it is will be the 46th president. But I do think it's a time to see and say, who do you want to be the possible next commander-in-chief after these two men? And to me, there's no comparison of the two people. Harris is far superior.
Well, along this similar line, and this is also in my little phone notes, my doggy helps me write these notes at night.
Right? I guess I can't eat it. It's on a phone, yeah.
Might we get to a point, I just saw how many Republicans now are sick with the virus, might we get to a point where we don't have enough Republicans that can govern that we will have to shut down our government, or at least put it aside for until we get people healthy again?
Well, the Senate is in danger with three Republicans having COVID. If there's not enough votes, they would have to at least delay the vote. And if they delay the vote and Joe Biden wins, it should be stopped. Although I'm sure McConnell will still want to do it, even if he loses his own seat, which he probably won't. But I think it should not be allowed. It should be the next term, the president, whoever it is, gets to pick the person who will be there for 30 years. But as far as the government itself, the military, a lot of them are COVID positive now or in quarantine. But there's always people to back up. But it's certainly a major crisis. And the White House, I just worry. I don't know how this disease works, but you even wonder, can it be, quote, cleaned up in time for the new president, or does the new president come in with danger being in that building and all of his family and all of his staff? I don't know. I don't know enough about that kind of a thing, but it worries me.
Kind of scary, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, now, I did notice this morning that, I can't remember her name now, running against McConnell. Anyway.
Allison Grimes, I think it is, yeah.
Is that it?
I think that's the name. Let me look it up while I'm talking to you.
Okay. Well, anyway, that person is in an even race right now, according to polls. And so is Jamie, I can't remember his name. He's running against
Allison Grimes, yes.
There you go.
James Harrison, who's African-American.
Yeah, and they're in a toss-up. Right?
And Graham, I think, is in more danger than is McConnell. It's just the way it is, but they both could lose, they both could win. Probably the odds are they're going to still keep their seats, but if there's anybody who needs to be defeated, it's those two.
Well, I hate to say this real loud, but I agree. If both the president and the vice president, let's say Pence does show up with COVID, and the president has it, we know right now, and let's say it happens next week and they're both still able to infect people, is there any governmental thing that would put Pelosi in temporarily?
Well, there is the Presidential Succession Act of 1947, which puts the Speaker of the House two heartbeats away.
Right.
So, yes, because there are those who say, oh, my God, no, she's a woman and she's a Democrat. It doesn't matter. The Republicans pushed this succession law through in 1947, and they changed it from these cabinet members, which is the way it should have stayed. So they made it Speaker of the House, President pro tempore of the Senate, after the Vice President, before the Secretary of State. So they're stuck with it. And actually, 3 out of 4 years since 1947, the House of Representatives has been in the hands of the party opposite the president.
Huh.
We've had this situation where an opposition person could come in, but they did it to themselves by doing this in 1947 when they took over the 80th Congress when Truman was in office. And so now they're paying the price. But yes, if neither is able to govern, not take over in the sense of being president, but taking over temporarily, yes, the Speaker would take over. But she's not even being kept informed, I understand, about what's going on. And that's wrong. She's in the line of succession, and she needs to know.
Well, there is no rule about hypocrisy. We're allowed to have hypocrisy through the ceiling. And the hypocrisy, especially of this thing where they're going to appoint a Supreme Court person in the last 27 days or whatever it's going to be.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg, which is an insult to her.
Yeah, and it also just shows how hypocritical we can be in politics when Lindsey Graham says you can take it to the bank that they would not vote the person in. Well, that was just a lie.
Yeah, well, also, we consider how he was, so about Graham, was so against Trump, so bitterly opposed, and a big friend of John McCain, and once McCain died, he switched over and became a traitor to the memory of John McCain.
Yeah.
And honestly, if John McCain was ever to come back from the dead, I could imagine him kicking him in the front of the back to the head, you know?
That's
it's just unbelievable.
Happen,
the man is despicable, Graham. Absolutely despicable. For that alone, he should be defeated.
Well, I can't imagine that they're not embarrassed when...
He's not embarrassed by anything. Look, he pursued Bill Clinton. He was one of the key campaign managers to impeach Bill Clinton, but he wouldn't say the same for Trump. And Trump had real serious charges, and the Clinton case was weak. It was not good behavior on his part, Bill Clinton, but not impeachable. And, of course, he was found not guilty. But the fact is that really, to see the Clinton case as horrible and yet see the Trump situation of abuse as not is just unbelievable, really.
Well, one of my friends who is running for, I would say she's an acquaintance, not a friend. She was running at the same time I was running for Ohio State Representative. Rachel Crooks was one of the ladies that accused Trump of trying to mash her.
Yes, I remember that, yeah.
And we talked a long time about it, and she's a very quiet young lady, and, butter wouldn't melt in her mouth. She never says a bad thing, but she felt that it was important that he was such a rotten person to do that to her that she came out against him. Anyway, there are a lot of ladies like that. What are there, 17, 19 women that have accused him of...
He's had more scandal about that than Bill Clinton even. I'm not defending Bill Clinton. But, I mean, the people complain about Bill Clinton. I'm telling you my belief that if you really want to think that he has not had a liaison with any woman while in the Oval Office...
I doubt it.
Believe me, I bet money on it that he has.
Yeah, I would too.
But I'm just saying, come on, let's be realistic, you know?
It's interesting how many very pretty young ladies he appoints to, you know, the news director or whatever she is,
press secretary.
Press secretary.
Oh, she is. You know, he's had four press secretaries. Each one's worse than the one before.
Yeah, but they all get better looking.
He gets worse, you know?
All right, let me ask you about...
You notice I don't have strong opinions.
Let me ask you about this.
I'm very mild-mannered. I don't speak up.
I can tell that. That's why we have you on the radio. If Roe is overturned, does the decision then move to the states so there would still be states that would allow abortion?
Yes, it still could be a state thing. In the South, they wouldn't allow it.
Yeah.
And in the Bible Belt, they wouldn't allow it, but it would be elsewhere. But also, Joe Biden has said he would push for legislation to restore Roe v. Wade. Of course, that could end up in the Supreme Court, though. That's the only problem.
Yeah.
So that is an issue. But, but yes, it could still be done. But in the South, where states are actually poorer in general than elsewhere, we're going to have a lot of people who cannot afford children and do not want them, and maybe in some cases were raped also, who are going to be forced to have children. And my thought on abortion is I don't like it. I don't want to promote it in any way, but I don't want to tell a woman what to do with her body. It's her body, and it's not even the husband's decision, I think, to tell her she has to do something. I think it's up to her, and I know a lot of people will like that, but I say, nobody's going to tell a man how to control his body, so why should they tell a woman how to control her body? That's my view anyway.
I agree with you, absolutely. Now, nobody that I know is pro-abortion. Nobody.
No, absolutely not, and the fewer the better. So we need responsibility as far as having condoms, which many of these people don't want people to have condoms or birth control devices, but that's insane. The only thing is to avoid pregnancy if you don't want it, because it puts many people into poverty who can't afford children, and then the children get abused in many cases.
The lady I ran against is known to have wanted the six-week rule to apply. You couldn't get an abortion after you'd been pregnant for 6 weeks. Well, most people don't even know that they're pregnant
at
that point.
That's religion getting into government. Separation of church and state is essential. We don't get religion in government. Keep your religious views out of government.
Yeah, I agree. And I've asked, when I was running for office, I said, isn't that a religious thing? And the people that were... I guess they call themselves pro-life, even though they're for the death penalty many times. But they would all say, no, that's not religious. You know.
Oh, yes, it is. It absolutely is. And these are the same people who are telling people don't wear masks and don't social distance. And they have these churches and synagogues, Orthodox Jews get together too close, evangelical Christians, many of them, and they have people in large crowds, and that is reckless behavior at a time like this. You don't have to be in a church or synagogue or mosque. You can always do it remotely, as many churches and synagogues do.
Yeah. Okay, let me see. I've got another question for you.
Yes.
Why do you think the Republicans are effectively ignoring the falling of their popularity polls? They're just ignoring it. Like most people think that the Supreme Court should not be appointed before the election.
Well, just like about 65% want abortion to remain legal.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway. They have their head in the sand like an ostrich, but the ostrich is smarter. How's that?
Or that Geico bird. The last one I saw, it has its head in the sand, too.
There's going to be a massive loss of Republican seats, I think, in the House and Senate. Much more. They're going to suffer, and they deserve to suffer. But they're going to really lose badly. And now some of the polls indicate Joe Biden's ahead. I don't think it's going to necessarily be this. 16 points. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be that, but anybody to bet money on Trump now, even with foreign collusion concerns and voter suppression, I don't see any way that he could possibly win.
Well, tell me, now, once it came out, we all watched the president walk up those stairways and breathe very heavily. I felt sorry for him, quite frankly. He looked like...
Too nice.
Well, now that leads me to this question. What do you think of all the vitriol that is being spewed on Facebook and other social media? What
about him, you mean?
I'm sorry?
About what he did, you mean?
Yeah, no, about him being sick. A lot of people, you know, good riddance to bad rubbish type things.
I don't wish him to be, I don't wish him harm, yeah. But I want him out of the White House, and I would argue it's actually time that he resign, but he won't, and Mike Pence take over. Now, you might say, now? Well, you never know, but the point is, if God forbid something did happen to Trump today, Pence would take over with the shortest term of office other than William Henry Harrison in 1841, and, but I'm not wishing harm, but he needs to go. He's a detriment and a threat to the nation, and I think Mike Pence needs to take some leadership, but he won't.
Yeah.
It's going to be asked of him tonight, I'm sure. It's going to be a very interesting debate tonight to see how they both interact and how he treats her, how she treats him. It's going to be fascinating.
That was my next question. How do you think they will treat each other? Now, you know that Kamala is prosecuting attorney,
yes.
Or is she? Yeah, prosecuting
attorney. She's the Attorney General of one-eighth of the country, 40 million Californians.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and Pence doesn't have that background, I don't believe.
He was a talk show host, though, on radio.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
He wasn't very well liked in Indiana when he left there.
But he was a talk show host, so he knows how to bowl.
Well,
how's that sound?
What do you expect?
Not to be negative, I'm just teasing you.
No, that's all right, I understood that. What do you expect will happen tonight? Do you think they will be civil? I can't imagine it'll be as uncivil as the presidential thing.
I think compared to what happened with Trump against Biden, yes. But she will certainly be aggressive, not brutal in the sense of being rude, but she will be aggressive, and he will be, like he did in 2016, be there to speak up in defense of Trump back then, even when he wasn't president, against Kane. He was just keeping on mouthing the words that Trump wanted him to say. I don't know why he worries. At this point, Trump can't dump him. He's been picked
as
a nominee. He can't fire Pence.
Yeah.
And it would be nice to see Pence show some guts and courage and principle, but I think his whole thing is he is a religious freak, a religious fanatic, who is anti-abortion, anti-gay rights. His wife is in a school that nobody's allowed its staff or teachers or students or parents to, you know, if they know they're gay or transgender, or lesbian. And to me, why would somebody want to have that kind of an association and actually say, yes, I believe in these kinds of discrimination? Whether you like people's lifestyles, that is none of your or my business. And yet that's exactly what they want to do, and they want to impose religion. So I think he's a scary person, really.
It is imposing religion into the government. There's no doubt about it. Now, I was pleased to see the lady from Kentucky who was...
Allison Grimes.
Yeah, she did not get supported by the courts. She's the lady that wouldn't...
Other one, Kim's, whatever her name is.
She wouldn't marry the... wouldn't allow the gay men to be married.
Her name is Kim. I remember her last name, yes.
What do you think of that? Well, I would say that you would think that's a good decision.
It's a good decision, but at the same time, that's when Alito and Thomas came out to say they have problems with the gay marriage decision of 2015.
Yeah.
Why are they bringing that up now? They voted no in the past. What, do they want to reverse it now? I mean, come on. Once you grant rights, you don't take them away, is my thought. It's crazy. And I don't think, particularly Clarence Thomas, he's 29 years on the court. He's now 72. It's time for him to leave. I wish he would. He's not going to. But honestly, the man is just disgraceful. He really is. And it's just amazing, his views, as I see it anyway.
Just another one of our... governmental people that has problems with the opposite sex. If you recall the when he was appointed,
Rita Hill. And of course Kavanaugh did too. So we have two people, you know, that have been appointed that have it may be on the court, but they've had issues which are part of their historical record, unfortunately.
Right. And Kavanaugh was far worse. I mean, all of a sudden forgotten his name.
Well, in college, he wasn't in the position of authority like Thomas was, though, you know, in the government in the 80s. So in some ways, I think Thomas was worse than Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh was a young guy in college who was unable to control his behavior, which is not good, but that's not as serious as Thomas, I don't think.
Well, you know, in watching the thing with Thomas, lording, using his power to... try to get some sort of sexual favor from the young lady, even using such a stupid thing as the pubic hair on the Pepsi can or something.
Yeah, it was such an embarrassing thing.
Yes.
And there was nobody on the Judiciary Committee who was a female either. That's why we had to push for more women and put them on the Judiciary Committee, including Dianne Feinstein, yes.
Yeah.
That was a horrible thing, and he should not have been confirmed. But he used the race card, ironically, and, you know, that's what I think helped as well.
Is it me? I tweeted this morning that I'm looking forward to having a brand new Republican Party where people are fiscally responsible. You know, they're all the things that I probably would disagree with, but I want them to give us an honest opposite side rather than being totally... stick your head in the sand and...
The Republican Party has had a long history, but it's really abandoned itself in the last years, especially under Trump.
Yeah.
And it needs to be reformed, and a lot of these people need to be removed and new people come in. But unfortunately, we also have this QAnon conspiracy group, which has this one woman who's been elected to the House already because there's no strong... I don't even know if there is a Democratic opponent in Georgia. So we're going to have at least one person, if not more, which promotes this conspiracy theory about Democrats eating children and eating children, imagine, and abusing children and saying Hillary Clinton's part of it. Nobody like that should even be seated. I would argue she should not be allowed to be seated, even if the people elect her. But I guess there's a limit to what you can do if the people elect a wacko.
Yeah, well, I think it's an offshoot of Brannon being... the guy that was the supporter of Trump.
Which one? I'm not sure what you mean.
The guy with the Breitbart. Why am I struggling here? This is crazy.
Well, Breitbart, the whole Breitbart thing, they're extremes. There's so many extreme right-wing groups now, and it's just horrible. It really is. You know?
And one of the initial things that I recall from the support that Breitbart was giving Trump was deorganizing the administration, basically. Going for anarchy, it sounded like.
Well, he's done a good, in quotes, good job in that, that he's tried to purge the intelligence agencies, the foreign policy community, and also the regulatory agencies. I'm talking about Trump.
Yeah.
Regulatory agencies. So actually, in, from his perspective, he's done a, quote, good job in taking away all stability and promoting anarchy and chaos. But I think a lot of Americans now see it, and I think that the time is up for Trump, and now he has to turn over his tax forms. Another court said so. We'll probably go to the Supreme Court.
Yep.
Maybe they'll back him because we have corrupt people on the court. I hope not. But, I mean, he's going to pay the price in the future. He's going to face time in jail for what happened in New York, if nowhere else. Even if he's pardoned otherwise, it could not separate him from the New York charges.
In my heart, I've always trusted that the Supreme Court, once they're named to a Supreme Court justice, they have a lifetime appointment, so now they can be honest and they will be fair.
Well, it happened in 1974 with Nixon,
yeah,
and in 1997 with Clinton, in cases about, you know, involving their authority in times of scandal.
Yeah.
So I'm hopeful that the court, all you need is 5-4. Well, right now it's an 8-member court. It would still need, I guess, 5-3. But I don't know whether it's going to happen. Chief Justice Roberts, I consider respectable and decent, but whether he can influence the others to do the right thing, I don't know.
Yeah, good question. Okay, now, this leads me to my final question that
I see it's only a few minutes to go. My God, it went so fast.
We've only got 5 minutes to go, but this question, and it applies to a lot of things that Trump has done. What gives Trump the right to decisions by the CDC? And I mean, he overrules all sorts of things.
Because he's a doctor, don't you know that?
Well,
he's an expert on everything, and he's actually an expert on nothing.
Well, I mean, the executive department isn't over the medical people, is it? I mean, why is he allowed to do that?
Because nobody's going to stop him in in the cabinet or in the Senate or House, and many people just want to keep their job. The civil servants, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But honestly, a lot of former members have come out against him. The various groups have come out against him. A lot of military, intelligence, and diplomatic people have come out against him. Former Republican members of Congress, the ones not in. There's never been so much opposition to a president within his own party for re-election as this. There's been some, but nothing like this.
Well, as evidenced by the Lincoln Project.
Yes, they're brilliant. Now, of course, George Conway, you know, could be getting COVID because his wife and his daughter have it.
Yeah.
I wonder how that
and
marriage lasts.
He's pretty overweight, so it won't be a good thing for him.
Yeah, and I just don't know how that marriage. I'd like to be a fly on the wall in that household.
I wouldn't. Because there's got, well, I suppose it, with a lot of poop flying, it's good for flies, right? I don't know how they can stay in the same household.
I also wonder how Melania and Donald, how do they react to each other in private? I really wonder. I'm talking about word-wise, I'm not talking about otherwise.
Well, this is,
I wonder what goes on between them.
This is my guess. I have no idea. I have no reason to support, or nothing to support this. I have a feeling they don't see each other except for when they are required by state visits or state shows.
You're probably right, but still there are times they must pass where they talk to each other. How does he treat her, and how does he treat his son, Barron, who I think really may be a victim of a terrible father, like with the other kids?
I feel so sorry. You watch Barron when the very few times you get to see him, he is so reticent to say anything. He's so... He always looks down. He looks sad.
Yes.
I hope he's okay.
Well, he's going to certainly have money, but money doesn't make you happy. Is
money
the issue. We
well,
do have to remember that. Character matters.
And money doesn't make you smart. Money doesn't do anything for you except for give you money.
And it doesn't guarantee you a long life either.
No.
How many people with money die young either naturally or by suicide? Horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had a lot of that, especially recently, the suicide thing.
Your family is most important, to be decent parents to your children, but I don't think you ever knew how to be that, Donald Trump.
Yeah, I'm afraid you might be right. Okay, we've only got, what do we have now? We don't have very
many minutes.
Yeah, we have less than 2 minutes. We have 1 minute. What do you think? Do you think anything's going to be happening about gun control or gun?
Not now. Hopefully, if the Democrats come in, there needs to be. But it's been very hard to do anything, despite what happened in Connecticut in 2012 and all the other cases. There needs to be, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen. That is the Republicans keep control, but I don't see that happening.
All right.
Well, anyway, I want to thank you again. I'm looking forward to next week. It's been a lot of fun.
All right. We'll get you back on next week. We've got about 30 seconds before we get out of here. So you have a nice day, and stay warm down there in Florida.
And you stay warm and healthy, and everybody at the station.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Feynman.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Dr. Feynman, our progressive professor, which is hard to say. And we'll have him back on next week, same time. And tomorrow, don't forget, we're going to have a swap shop after noon, and my regular on-the-air program the rest of the time. So have a good day.
Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For legendary comedian and the voice of Ursula in The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
And as I teased before we went to the break there, we have on today a